This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Whatever you do, Gronk, do not spike that child.
Gronkowski spikes it. Fire the cannons.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How does Dak look, Zeke Elliott?
Dak looks good. He looked as good as he's ever looked.
Deep ball down the right side. He's got Cooper.
Earlier on the show, host of the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick. Raiders general manager Mike Mayock. Ravens tight end Mark Andrews. Still to come. Co-host of CBS's The Talk, Jerry O'Connell. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. I am your humble host, sitting in the chair, getting set for a football weekend. College football tomorrow, 8 Eastern time. My school under the lights in the big house, Washington. And nice Michigan, though. Oregon plays the Ohio State as well. So it's some Pac-12, Big Ten. Did I see BYU's joining the Big 12? Did I see that piece of news cross my eye gate during the commercial break?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of college football maneuvering. And then, obviously, Sunday.
Not just BYU, Rich.
Who else left with them?
Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF.
Wow.
Okay. Not exactly Texas and Oklahoma, but...
Take that, historic alliance. Okay. Just keep on amassing until we figure out how we're going to get all Power 5 conferences under one roof. And that's that. It's coming.
That's that.
I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. Or what's coming will be, you know, SEC gets 16, and then we'll figure out what 16 come from the other Power 5. And then we'll have a league. And then not only will we have a league, we'll have relegation and all that sort of stuff, maybe. Mm. That's for another day. Week one in bulk coming up on Sunday. And then the Monday nighter, we've already had on the show Mark Andrews of the Ravens, Mike Mayock of the front office of the Las Vegas Raiders, said he said that if he doesn't win more games this year, he'll probably be sitting next to me. Once again, and he said he's not big on ignoring the elephant in the room. And Mark Andrews said that the Ravens had a team meeting after both Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters went down due to injury. Also, they're in a fighting mood. That's what he said. Dan Patrick came on in hour number one, and we chopped it up quite a bit about last night's. It's Thursday night kickoff. Bruce Arians saying today that he expects other teams to try and pick the team apart on the edges in the short passing game, just like the Cowboys did, until they learn how to defend it and tackle, is what he had to say. Copycat league. And Tom Brady looked the way that he did. My gosh. Let's go to Ira in Washington State. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ira?
Hey, Rich, just wanted to congratulate you on the TJ Watt signing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I did a lot of work. I did a lot of work telling the Steelers from this seat that they should make an exception for him with this rule that they only give guaranteed money in the first year contracts. They made an exception for him. Therefore, they heard me. So I appreciate that, Ira. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you're always championing, you know, you're campaigning for these guys to sign contracts. I think it's such a beautiful thing.
I pound the table. Look, I'm just here to pound the table, Ira. What else is on your mind?
Hey, you know, one other thing. I got a text message from my buddy. You know, we got a group thread last night sitting at the bar watching the game. And he goes, Tom Brady is better than Michael Jordan at this point, like the GOAT of GOATs. And I just said to myself, did Tom Brady sell himself to the devil? Did he sell his soul to the devil? You know, like, how do you do this at 44 years old and do it again and do it again and do it again? It's amazing. You know?
Ira, we're all going to be grasping at straws, and thank you for the call, because we've never seen it before. We're grasping at straws, Tom Brady, because we've never seen it before. A 44-year-old making every possible throw, not a single ounce or a twitch or a sign. Not even in the area code of a diminished return. What keeps him young? Obviously, it's his work ethic. It's his eating habits. Literally, he spends every second of his day feeding his body in a way that makes it the engine that still can at 44. I have another thing that I think that keeps him young.
Giselle?
Outside of your gutter instincts, sir. I think what keeps him young is what we saw last night, a couple times on that field last night and the last time he was on it. What do I mean by it? When I saw video on the @NFL account across my Twitter handle of Breeze being on the sideline and Brady going up to him before the game. And it's Breeze's first game as a broadcaster on NBC, you know, for a regular season game. He goes up to Breeze and they share a moment. And, you know, two goats meeting each other, says the, you know, NFL account. And I thought to myself, the number of times now Brady in his career has seen somebody who's been a peer, somebody who is placed in the same sentence as him as a goat, a competitor. The number of times he has seen one of those people on the sidelines in a suit, retired, or on the field as a member of the opposing coaching staff. The number of times that he's still standing there in his uniform getting ready to beat them or beat somebody. That has to give him all sorts of wind at his sails. It has got to. He loves seeing them. I'm just saying that if he has the goat blood, we know he does. If he has the Jordan type mentality, we know he does. He's a little part of him's thinking, yep, I'm still in my uniform. Have a good broadcast. Yep. Have a good broadcast. Have a good game, coach. I'm going to go back and I'm still playing.
No doubt.
He's got to take something from that and it feeds him. And he wants the next one. Who's next? Who's going to be in the broadcast next? When Phillip is done coaching high school this year, is he going to show up? You know, somebody's going to hire him and put him on a broadcast team? Maybe. Maybe you'll see him at the Super Bowl this year, standing in his uniform.
Field Yates tweeted this out, Rich. Not sure you saw it. You know, Brady made his 300th career start last night. Three Hall of Famers started their career after Brady's first start. Troy Polamalu, Calvin Johnson, Ed Reed. Started after Brady, played their whole career, waited 5 years, went to the Hall of Fame.
That's so ridiculous.
It's crazy. I mean, we could go on and on with stats. We Elias, you know, Stats Service, we have a deal with them for our Thursday night kickoff and, of course, game day morning. They came up with a stat. There's no other player in the NFL now that is around when NFL Network launched. And that also includes the 2001 and 2002 draft classes. Everybody's gone. But I'm just talking about what keeps him young. These are stats that just show how long he's been around. It's got to keep him young to see Breeze there. Hey, yeah, you're a broadcaster now. But I'm sure he likes him. Yeah. They have a relationship. They're friendly. More than that, maybe. I don't know.
I think you're but so the, on point there, Rich.
Here's the other thing that keeps him young. Beating the young. Taking all those coming at the throne. The iron throne that he sits on of his seven kingdoms, one for each championship he has. Keep coming at the king. The last two quarterbacks on the turf in Tampa that he has consoled. Last night, Dak Prescott. Dak, hey man, 403 yards. Great performance. Good for you. You came back from your leg injury, and I really respect what you do. And you know, I think what you do in the community is great, and you're a good guy, and great job, man. 403 yards. That was incredible. You gave us everything that you could tonight. Good job. But guess who walks away the winner? And the quarterback that he consoled in that manner before Dak on that turf? Patrick Mahomes. Hey, man. Unbelievable season for you. I mean, back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, I know how tough that is. You know, it's tough to win it back-to-back, too. I know how tough that is, too. But guess who's going to have that shot next year?
See ya. Yep. You could have had two, gotten closer to my six, but now I got seven. You still have one. There's got to be a little bit of that inner voice in him that's thinking that. Won't say it publicly. Of course he won't. Won't wear it on his face, his sleeve. He won't say it, anything close to that. Because he does, I'm sure, respect the heck out of every last quarterback I just mentioned. Because he knows how tough it is. When all comes down to it, who's walking away the winner? The old guy or the young kid? Who got the seven rings on the fingers? You or me? Any other human being? You? No. Me. Yep.
You know what I love most about this photo? Keep going. Not the seven rings, which are awesome. It's how small the first Patriots ring is.
I know, right?
Compared to
They all look small next to that moon that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that you can snap the top off of and place something in there, I guess. I don't know. But that's what I think keeps Brady young, is sucking the lifeblood out of the young and seeing all of his colleagues from all the years that they were in the league. 20 years, you know, seen them, all of them, see him, every last one of them. I don't think the Bucks play the Giants this year, but he could see Eli. Hey, Eli, how's the front office? Great to see you. I know you beat me twice, but how's the front office? Okay. Peyton, Monday Night Football. How's that going? Is that good? You having a good time doing that? I'm sure you're building your business. That's great. Oh, it's great to be. Thanks for inviting me to the Hall of Fame. He plays Giants week 11. Okay, they do see each other. Great, Eli. How are you? I'm the one in the uniform still. Honestly, I think that he's not thinking about it, but I think those moments, they get him going.
Well, see, though, Rich, wouldn't you think that Eli would be the one guy on earth that can look at Tom and go?
Well, Foles is another one, I guess, but
Eli did it twice.
But like, yes. He did it
twice. Even with Foles, it was like, eh.
So, but the answer he could say back to Eli, as if we're going to have the petty inner monologue that neither of these guys would ever have with each other. But go ahead. You could say it. You be Eli. I'll be Tom.
Hey, well, you know, Tom, I did beat you twice.
I know. Prevented me from having nine.
Yeah, exactly. Like
You're right. You're right, Eli. Yeah. I could have had nine.
The debate on Eli is, is he a Hall of Famer? Tom's like, cool, I'm the greatest ever.
In this episode of Petty Conversations that would never be had amongst high-class individuals.
And Rich.
Yeah, you know what, Eli, you're right. You got me twice. If not, I could be going one for the other thumb. You see that photograph of me with seven on my fingers?
Should be nine.
Seven. It's insane. He's going for another pinky ring because he's decided not to put any of them on a thumb. And what keeps him young? Putting one on the pinky, of course, that does. And being at their office every day as a player and being around the guys. Yeah, of course that keeps him young. And maybe being a dad and being a husband, that'll keep him young. Well, also keeps him young is, hey, Drew, have a great cast. Hey, Dak, great game. Patrick, you're incredible. But who's the one in the uniform going to play, and who's the one winning? That'll keep you young.
Makes sense.
I thought of that when I saw that video of him with Breeze last night.
And Rich, you're right. I think everyone in this room has someone in their life who kind of maybe doubted you, or you were maybe neck and neck or some type of thing that like they're not doing what you're doing now. And
sure.
And I know in your career, there has to be so many, and you won't say them. Obviously, I'm not going to ask, but we've all got to have someone in our life that maybe doubted us, or we were, you know, in the same proximity at some point. And now you kind of look at them and go, eh, okay.
The how do you like me now stuff?
A little bit.
I'll just tell a quick story here.
Tell me how my taste.
I'll tell you a quick story. Quick story, and then we'll throw to breaks around time for Jerry OC. More of your phone calls, Brockman, with his sneaky good games. And I've got three games underneath the radar for the week one slate in the NFL. There's always games in the marquee, and then there's games that are just as delicious, but not enough people talk about. Here's a quick story. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get a job in television, and I road tripped around upstate New York. What does that mean? It means you send your tape to a news director, a television station, in advance. You know they have received your tape. You knock on their door You go to the television station, not during a news hour, because that shows you you don't know their business. Like, if you show up during the 5 o'clock news, say, I'd like to meet you, they'll be like, get out of here. You don't belong here. We're on the air. Like,
don't come here between 9 and 12.
When I get a text from somebody like saying, hey, you know, can you talk? And I'm like, I'm on the, you don't know I'm on the air right now? Maybe they shouldn't, because, you know, there's other things in life, but still, it's your world and you should know it, certainly if you're trying to get a job in their world. At any rate, see, I would do that. I went around upstate New York. I sent my tapes to, I sent a couple in Syracuse, Utica, Binghamton, and there was a 24/7 365 startup that I heard about in the Albany Schenectady area where they were going to cover politics and sports. You know, like there's a New York One in New York, the New York One station. They were going to create one of those up in up there. So I sent a tape there and got a, you know, letter back saying, thank you for your tape and we'll get back to you. And I stopped by the station on my road tripping. I wore a suit. I put the tapes in my back seat in the trunk of my car just in case they needed a fresh one. And I would go to the news station and I'd meet with them and I'd front load the interview. And sometimes I'd watch my resume tape with them, which is really, really nerve wracking. Yeah. So I showed up to the person's, to the news place in Albany, what have you. And there was no phone number, so I couldn't call ahead, just an address. And this is before phones and GPS. I had to stop off at a gas station and ask for directions. They give me directions and I'm driving and suddenly I'm not in a business area. I'm in a neighborhood, residential district. And I stop and the Albany Schenectady 24-hour news station is somebody's house. They haven't moved into an office yet. I ring the doorbell and it's the house of the executive producer. They hadn't gotten off the ground yet, but they were taking tapes. And I knock on the door. I'm like, is this news channel? What have you? And they're like, you know, no, but this is the house of the executive producer. You know, I'm like, well, this is the address that I have. Is he here? And she's like, come on in. And I'm out standing in the guy's foyer. And I heard a flush, like upstairs, like All in the Family. Flush of a toilet. I caught him while he was doing something.
Handling his business.
Whoever, the lady who answered the door goes around the wall and I could hear her whisper, like, there's a guy named Rich Eisen who's here and, you know, he wants to talk to you about a job. And he says, what? He comes around the corner, he looks at me, goes, I don't have any time. He says to this woman, I don't have any time for this S. And looks right at me in the face and he says, I don't take walk-ins, kid. And walked into his office in his house and slammed the door, leaving me in his foyer. And I thought to myself, I will never get a job in this business. Never. I felt this big.
Yeah.
Smash cut. 2 years later, I'm on the set of SportsCenter.
Been there.
And they're launching ESPN News. And as part of the launch, there's all sorts of news papers sending their media critics and people, because it's back in the day when everyone had one. 1997, this was. So smash cut to two years later. Yeah, 2.5 years later. And they wanted to give all of these newspaper reporters an idea of what it's like to be a SportsCenter anchor. And they would have the critic sit next to a SportsCenter anchor and do a segment together with a script and a highlight. Okay. And I got like a half an hour session with a group of these critics. And one of them sat down next to me. I'm like, where are you from? What's your paper? Albany Times Union. I'm like, oh, okay. Is there such a thing as a 24/7, 365 news station there? Because I've got a story for you. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you don't have one there? He goes, no. Oh, he goes, you're probably talking about the startup that never got off the ground. And I'm like, never made it to air, huh? And he goes, nope. I told him the story, and I'm like, how do you like me now? Damn straight, brother. I had one of the best shows that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
I bet.
So the answer to that question is yes. I have more stories, but I want to be on time for Jerry O'Connell. And by the way, this is the type of stories that I tell on my podcast, Just Getting Started. All these news, all these stories of how people got started. Yeah. I talk about my, you know, my auditions and how I got my first job. And I'm telling this story too. And you get stories like similar ones, although less spiteful, because Jim Nance is a less spiteful man. Buck and Aaron Andrews and Kevin Harlan and Strahan. This is good stuff.
I hope Check it out. I got to watch you one time.
Cumulus Podcast Network. All good, brother. All good. Back here with Jerry O'Connell on The Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
What's Rob Reiner, your remote drop movie? If you,
you know, there's so many surfing movies that I love that I can watch over and over again. I mean, I watch Into It's a Wonderful Life. I watch All the President's Men. I love President's Men. I mean, there's so many movies that I love. You know,
where you're just surfing. It doesn't matter where you pick it up.
Yeah.
You're going to watch the
Godfather is, you know, The Godfather is the classic. If you're flipping around and you catch The Godfather, it's
that's it.
And you're in.
Even if it's another 2.5 hours, yeah. You just got to clear your schedule.
Godfather 1 or 2. I pretend that Godfather 3 never happened. Yeah, I just, the 1 and 2.
Just stick with the 1.
Yeah, and 1 and 2.
Stick with 1 and 2. Is it true you've seen All the President's Men 25 times?
I'm sure, maybe more even.
Okay, we have a couple of facts here we asked this of frequent celebrity guests who have as large a credit role as you do. I want to ask you if these are true or false facts. Yeah. We did this with Lawrence Fishburne last week.
Okay.
True or false, you co-wrote the first episode of Happy Days.
Well, yes, my name is on it, but it was my writing partner, Phil Mishkin, who was writing an episode. It was taken from Love American Style.
Right.
And then he adapted it. And so we were working as a team together. And he worked the first episode.
So you had something to do with the first episode.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we, you know, there were certain characters we had. Ralph Malph, though, was a character that we made.
You created?
Well, I mean, the name. Donnie Mose.
Was it somebody in your life?
It was in Phil's life. Okay. That he knew somebody like that.
All right. True or false, while filming the train scene in Stand By Me, you wanted Will Wheaton and Jerry O'Connell look more frightened, so you screamed at them until they cried. Is that a true story?
Well, I didn't scream at them. What happened was they would, you know, we set up the camera in such a way that they would be off the track before the train even got there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a long lens. It was like a 600 millimeter lens. So it looked like the train was right on top of them, but they were so far away that they didn't feel like anything was happening, you know? Mm-hmm. So they'd run and they were like running. I said, no, guys, there's a train right up. That's going to kill you. And they'd run again. And I said, and meanwhile, there's guys pulling a dolly, you know, the dolly, the camera all the way down the tracks like this.
Yeah.
And they're getting, and it's hot. And they're getting, I said, you guys, because of you guys, these guys are exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
They can't, because of you, and you're not crying. And I was like that. And then they went like this. And then they started and they cried. And then they were excited. They said, we did it.
Then you hugged it out.
I did hug them.
Okay, you hugged it out. Oh, great stuff when Rob Reiner was here a few years ago, setting up our chat with Jerry O.C. back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, along with our Peacock feed that just saw a great chat that we had with Rob Reiner when he was here years ago. He directed Stand By Me. He's one of the credits, many credits of our next guest, who we always love talking to. He's now one of the hosts of The Talk, which is celebrating season 12 with a Rock the Block party outdoors on the CBS Studio Center's residential street in Studio City, California, coming up on Monday from 2 to 3 Eastern. The season premiere on that Monday is September 13th. Jerry O'Connell back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jerry? Uh-oh. Is Jerry there? Did we lose Jerry? All of that. Let's get Jerry calling back. I don't know if he can hear us. So he can. Let's put him back on hold for a second and get Adam back on there with him. That was all. We had the whole setup and everything. Oh, he just hopped off. There goes Jerry O'Connell. Well, that's great. Who wants to stand by me right now? Anybody?
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you so much. What'd you say?
Were you trying to put him on hold?
Yeah. Not so good at that part.
I think I got bottom.
Oh my God.
Sorry about that.
So we'll get Jerry back on.
All right. In the in the meantime, let's get Raider Ted from Sacramento back on here. What's up, Raider Ted?
How's it going?
What's going on? What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, love listening to you and all the different venues you're on.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Been a big fan of SportsCenter since they had the old school jingle. In the early Tom Meese and Ed All days.
Thank you. So appreciate that.
So I just wanted to call, get a little national perspective on.
Yes.
You know, I'm a lifelong Raiders fan, going back to the early Kenny Stabler days. So I've seen all three titles. I'm excited for the first time in probably 15 years.
Okay.
About what they're doing, and I know a lot of people think Raider fans are clueless, and some of them are. But I'm really excited about these rookies and the free agents they signed, KJ Wright. So shoring up the linebacker has been a problem for us.
Right. Well, here's the deal, you know, Raider Ted. Let me just,
since Matt Millen was playing.
Yeah, let me just jump in here. The question marks about the roster, and we'll see what the wins and losses, the decisions to sign these folks is. Did they sign them because they realized the people that they had were not sufficient, or they are sufficient and Gruden just, you know, churns through them? I'm always of the mindset. I sat next to Mayock. I'm biased because I've known him for a long time. So we'll just say that I've just seen. Thanks for the call, Raider Ted. I've just seen the way that this guy builds a roster and knows talent and how much everybody listened to him and valued his opinion when he was on NFL Network, and how right he was most of the time. So I don't know if the mix works or not. And as Mike pointed out, the wins or losses for him, this is the time for him right now. And I hope it works out for him if he enjoys what he's doing. It sounds like he is. All right. So is Jerry O'Connell back here on the Rich Eisen? You there, Jerry?
Yes, Mr. Eisen.
I don't know if you heard my whole big to-do introducing you. I don't know if you heard all that or not.
I did. It was really quite moving.
Thank you.
I wish you could put me in a better mood, but we're only one game into this fantasy football season.
Okay,
you know,
yes, sir.
I know you as someone who I would always come on the NFL Network and talk about fantasy football and the infancy of fantasy football.
Yes, sir.
But I might have to quit it altogether. We're only one game into the fantasy football season, and already my children. I picked my children up yesterday from a volleyball practice that they're in.
Yes.
Don't get too excited. They're not very good, but at least they're out of the house.
Yes.
And they said, you know, Daddy, why are you so quiet? Why are you so – you seem depressed.
Yes.
And I looked at them and I said, because I'm playing someone who's playing not only Gronkowski but also Chris Godwin.
Okay. So now
– And they said, is that fantasy football? And I said, yes. Mm-hmm. And they said, why do you play every year, Daddy? It makes you so sad.
Oh, out of the mouths of babes.
Here we are again. I'm literally, we're 1 hour into the season, and already I'm angry and sad.
Well, let me just, if you don't mind, Jerry O'Connell, to borrow some phrases from your world and history, let me help you. That's number one. And right now, you got to suck it up because it sounds like you're getting two for flinching right now on your fantasy, and you can't have that. Jerry, come on. It's a long marathon, okay?
You know, let's go, Jerry. Marathon, but I rode with Chris Godwin every year, and then, of course, last year I ride with him, and he only plays a handful of games. He has finger surgery, and when he does start, he's got Antonio Brown in there all of a sudden, and it's not happening. And then, of course, the one day I play against him in fantasy football, he has 25 points. Well, and Gronkowski, who went in the last round of every league and no one would touch him, has not won but two touchdowns in the first hour of football this year. I can't handle fantasy football any longer. Richard.
Jerry. Jerome.
It's destroying my life.
Jerry O'Connell. Let's about Jerry O'Connell here on the – let me give another proper introduction to one of the stars of The Talk on CBS, which is celebrating a season 12 premiere on Monday, September 13th. With a neat outdoor bash.
We have NFL Network alum Akbar Baja joining us
Akbar
as well.
Baja.
So I will be just handing him my phone and saying, please fix my lineup.
That's what I'm saying.
So I can stop paying these websites all of my salary to automatically set my rosters. Oh, my goodness. Don't even get me started. I had my big pickup, my big sleeper was Gus Edwards. Can you believe I'm watching my children poorly play volleyball yesterday, and then my alarm my phone starts dinging. I thought it was an Amber Alert, but it's there to tell me that Gus Edwards is no longer playing this season. So I go immediately to pick up Levian or to go pick up Tyson, and he's already gone in my leagues. Thank goodness, former NFL Network alum Michael Fabiano texted me and said, pick up Latavius now, and I finally got him, and I will be starting him. But just to let you know, I'm starting Latavius in my flex, and we're 1 hour into this season. I can't take it anymore, Mr.
Jerry.
I can't take it.
Jerry O'Connell here on the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. So hold on a second, Jerry. A flex, that's... I mean, come on. You got to have another receiver or a tight end, somebody that you could start at flex.
And it's a 14. It's a 14-team league. Everyone is gone. I hope I'm not offending anyone. These mental cases that I play with in this league are just, they immediately, everyone is gone. The only one I could play possibly instead of Latavius is Alan Lazard. Who
I'm not mad
at, but you just don't want to be.
You got
to
go.
I know, but he just, you don't want to be opening with an Alan Lazard. No offense to Mr. Lazard. He's a great receiver. He's fun to watch. He plays with a lot of passion.
So play him.
Fun to have a
play
reason
him.
To watch.
Play him. Play him.
I'm going to play Latavius. I'm going to roll the dice. I have a thing where I have to have Ravens ground game on all of my fantasy teams. And I thought Gus Edwards was going to take me to the championship circle, but unfortunately, it's going to be me and Latavius.
Well, let me help you out here. Let me help you out here then. Okay. Jerry O'Connell here on the Rich Eisen Show. Latavius Murray, if I'm not mistaken, was born into the league by the Oakland Raiders, and he's going to be taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Maybe he wants to teach him a little bit of a lesson. I don't know. Go Alan Lazard. That's my two cents to you. Who else is this league? Anybody we know?
Okay.
Anybody else? Anybody we know? Anyone we've heard of? Jerry?
Name drop? These are all civilians. There is one non-civilian, an actor by the name of Anson Mount. He plays
we know who he is.
Captain Pike on the new Star Trek show. He was also in a show called Hell on Wheels.
Yeah, okay.
I was making a lot of fun of him.
Civilians.
We were in an auction draft, which took 17 hours.
Jerry, stop right there. You got to get out of this league. Okay, your children are the greatest reflection of you and your lovely wife. You know that already, Jerry, okay? You know that already. Your children are saying, "Daddy, what's wrong?" That's an alarm bell that's going off. There's smoke in the house. You got to get the hell out. And that's an 17 hours. You've got a life, Jerry. You've got a job. You've got children. What is
so
the
happy.
Matter with
I'm
you?
I'm just so happy that the season. I'm just so happy that the season has finally started. You know, when I had six drafts this week, and when I have a draft, because I have to have all these other ancillary sites that tell me rankings that I sync up with my draft.
Yes.
No one in my house can also use the internet. The internet is solely for me. The children can't use the TikTok. They can't be Snapchatting. My wife cannot be online, shopping, searching, streaming. There's none of it. I literally take all their devices, I shut them off, and I put them in a safe. And it's just me and a 17-hour auction draft.
Well, I think we must live in the same neighborhood because a lot of times this week my internet's dipped out in the neighborhood. Maybe it's just you sucking it from all of greater Los Angeles, Jerry. Maybe.
Yeah, I was
oh my God.
I was a little upset in another league. I had this whole thing. I was taking Austin Eckler in all my leagues in the first round, and my internet crapped out, so I ended up with Nick Chubb. But
good.
I tried to offer a few trades. Nothing happened, so I'm rolling with Chubb in one of my leagues as well.
All right, so who else is in those leagues? Give me the one with the least non-civilians.
I'm actually in a league with a group of your friends.
Who's that?
I'm in a league with the former co-stars of the show The League.
Okay.
Everyone's in it except for your friend, Jeff Schaefer, who was the creator of The League.
Too big time.
And I do have to say, not to smack talk, but those cast members who are on The League.
They stink. They're not good at it.
They don't know much about the National Football League.
They're excellent actors.
It turns out to be.
Yes.
Now, that said, I can't talk too much smack. This is the most embarrassing point of my life. I mean, this is a low point of my life.
Yes.
Last season, I came in last in their league.
So what do you have to do? What'd you have to do?
I had to do the punishment. It is.
Yes.
I realize that all gambling is wrong and bad, but there is a financial punishment.
Okay.
At the end, it's nothing insane.
Okay. Not like the show.
It's more embarrassing because. It's more embarrassing because I lost to people who, are trying to draft Thurman Thomas in the first round. They just have no clue what's happening. And the fact is, they don't even try at fantasy. I think they probably pay for sites that tell them who to put in their lineups. But here's the thing that really upset me. I not only worked hard, I worked the hardest I possibly could. I could not have worked harder at my league and my team. It was a disaster from the get-go. I drafted Fitzpatrick as one of my quarterbacks in the 2QB league, and then after the first game against Miami last season, I dropped him. I was like, he's going to be no good. And of course, he went on to score 40 points a game, and I couldn't get him back. It was just a disaster from the get-go.
Hey, man.
I thought for sure that the Jets last season, I am from New York, were going to have an amazing season, so I drafted Levian in the third round. He played a total of three quarters last season, the entire season, not only on the Jets but on the Chiefs as well. It was a disaster season. I came in last, and it changed me as a person. It changed me as a father. It changed me as a husband. I have to say, I realized it all came rushing back yesterday when I went up against someone who played Gronkowski, who I believe was one of the last picks in our league.
Yes.
And he put up two touchdowns. I don't think I can do this another year. My kids are right. Why do I play fantasy football if it upsets me too much? I stop and I think, when did fantasy football really make me happy? Last season, I won one week by like a 0.2, and that didn't even make me that happy.
Yeah.
I just thought to myself, why did I only win by 0.2? I should have won by more. Oh, I missed this person in the flex. I'm never happy.
Jerry,
it just doesn't make me happy.
Jerry, when the losses hurt more than the wins give you enjoyment, that's when it's time to retire. But, look, let's see how this year plays out. And, I want to talk about your show so your people don't get upset with me or you. For just talking about,
I'm on the talk.
Yes,
our big season premiere is Monday. We're doing a barbecue, like a block party.
Yes,
it's super fun. It's live. I've entered the world of talk show host, Mr. Eisen.
You're good at it.
Tips for me.
You'll be great at it. I know you got Akbar. There's Akbar, Amanda Kloots, Cheryl Underwood. There's you, The Talk on CBS, 2 to 3 Eastern.
We're trying to do something a little different in daytime where we have a couple of dudes up here. Not that we identify people strictly through their gender. But
to do it.
We're trying something different. It's a really good group of people working here.
Great.
I'm excited to come to work every day.
All right.
You know what? It's like a real old school live TV show. We come in, we do it for an hour, and then whatever we said, that's it. We left it on the studio floor.
It's the talk.
Be exciting. It's
the
sort of a new thing for me.
At Mr. Jerry OC on both Twitter and Instagram. Let's talk. How about this? Let's you and I
also
talk.
Yelp. I do have to say, I give a lot of places, especially here in Southern California, Yelp reviews. If I have a good experience in a place, you can follow me on Yelp. there's no way to monetize that. I haven't figured out a way to monetize it, but I just do it. It's like a good thing to do. If I have a good experience somewhere, I just leave a good Yelp review.
No, oh, okay. Well, leave
one for the show.
Leave one. Well, I don't do it. Are we on Yelp?
Yeah, but we could be.
You're in charge of social media.
I'm
get us on Yelp.
Very. I got to do tell it. You. I got to say, this has been such a positive experience. You're going to get 5 stars.
Well, Jerry, hopefully you could help me with my Uber rating, but that'll be for our next conversation. Well, let's chat in like a month. We'll talk more about your show and how your team's
put over. Month.
Let's do it.
Let's prayers up. I need Latavius Murray to get 25 points on Monday. Hopefully that will happen.
Oh, my gosh. Jerry O'Connell, take care of yourself, man. Best of luck. Jerry O'Connell, the one and only.
Wow.
Oh, we haven't spoken to him in a while. That was fun. I'm laughing my ass off. That was funny. At Mr. Jerry OC on Twitter and Instagram. That was Jerry O'Connell on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line.
That was one of my favorite interviews you've ever conducted.
Let's have some fun with you guys, though. Coming back, Chris Brockman, Sneaky Good Games. I give you 3 games under the NFL radar to look out for. Maybe we'll sneak in a phone call as we go to the weekend. The football weekend, baby, coming up. What do you think of Ben Simmons and his situation in Philadelphia that seems like that marriage is going to have to break up?
We are obligated to put on a good show. They're paying us $20, $30 million to dribble a basketball. Work on your game. The process is over. We built this team to win championships. You know, people in Philadelphia, they respect people that work hard. So he has to decide himself, do I want to be a really good player or do I want to be one of the greatest?
It seems like Philly and he just can't mix anymore, right? I mean, do you think that...
Right, it ain't got nothing to do with Philly. This is all on him. The people in Philly have given him enough chances. And look, Philadelphia, Boston, L.A., and Miami, you got to bring it. If he does come back there, his game better be different. I know that.
Your tweet about James Franklin made me laugh out loud. That was a good
David,
one.
David, I thought you were going to say something about my observations about jump around. When it comes to, like, dancing and stuff, white people got poor self-esteem. Like, I think white people think that all black people can dance, and that's not true. Those of us who can't dance have been shamed into not dancing. I can tell you that firsthand. But in the end of 1991, Genesis put out this song called I Can't Dance, and I think that a lot of people leaned in. Like, you know what? You're right. I can't dance. So what? And then House of Pain, 6 months later, puts out Jump Around, and they're like, that's what we'll do. We will jump around. And not only will we jump around, we will receive clear instructions on when to jump.
The movie Dumb and Dumber, the studio did not want you for it, but Jim Carrey did. So they lowballed you an offer thinking you would say no, but you took it. Is that true or false?
True.
And is it true that your representation thought you were nuts for wanting to do that as well? That's another aspect.
Yeah, they thought it was a huge mistake, and we're going to start. It was an intervention. The night before, I was supposed to fly out to L.A. to do Dumb and Dumber. We're going to stop this. This is not who you are. You're a serious actor, and this will ruin your career. And I hate to tell you, Jeff, but he's going to act you off the screen. He's not in the snowball in the head scene. He's not on the tongue in the pool scene. And he's not in the toilet scene. So those are all mine. So unless they cut those out of the movie, I'm going to score.
The runner-up is going to be Glenn What's-Her-Nuts.
Glenn What's-Her-Nuts.
Oh, runner-up.
He came so close.
I know you guys liked it. I could tell by your reaction every time you read it. I would choose walking ibuprofen.
Okay, yeah. Walking ibuprofen. We were a little disappointed. We wanted him to choose the other one, right? Would you say?
I think we wanted Glenn What's-Her-Nuts.
He chose walking ibuprofen over Glenn What's-Her-Nuts. So I thanked him for his time, and he wrote, you got it. Probably should have gone with Glenn What's-Her-Nuts.
Whoa! So stupid. So stupid.
Oh, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we just saw our best of the week. By the way, Paul Rudd choosing walking ibuprofen for our fantasy team name in our celebrity fantasy league, Christopher, over Glenn What's-Her-Nuts.
Glenn What's-Her-Nuts.
Thank you very much. We found the drop.
Shout out to Rob in New Orleans.
Well done. Rob in New Orleans, call us back. Yeah. Rudd texted us an hour after the show and said, "Stick with walking ibuprofen."
Oh, stick with walking ibuprofen.
Got. Okay. By the way, nice night for CeeDee Lamb. And now Michael Gallup's out 3 to 5 weeks.
Michael Gallup, calf strain last night, out 3 to 5 weeks.
What's going on with Eckler and anybody else that you know? We're still waiting to hear about
it. We're still waiting. It looks like Kevin Stefanski has said Odell Beckham is going to be a game-time decision.
Which means he'll play.
He was limited again today. Right. He's like, I will let you guys know 90 minutes before the game.
All right. And you guys meaning Andy Reid. So.
And fantasy owners.
Okay. Let's get to my three games under the radar, Christopher. And then actually, why don't we go sneaky good games first? Why don't you tell us Americans can earn more dollars for their hard-earned. Okay. Here we go. Sneaky good games from Chris Brockman right on the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
Still cannot believe Tom Brokaw is introducing your Sneaky Good Games. So
it's an important segment each week.
Here we go, Chris Brockman.
Hey, first up, I'm going to give you guys an underdog right off the bat in probably one of the biggest games of Sunday. I like the Browns, +5.5. Did you know they have not won a season opener since 2004? Jeff Garcia, your quarterback back then, they beat the Ravens. I don't know if they're necessarily going to win this game in Kansas City, but I think it's going to be really close, and I think it's going to be really awesome, and I like the Browns with the points. A couple of other totals I like, Green Bay and New Orleans. This game is going to be insane. We know it's in Jacksonville. The Saints, for me this year, guys, they're going to be one of those over teams. I think they're never going to be out of the game. Jameis is going to be back there winging it all over the lot. And I think for that reason, they're always going to be really exciting. And those games are going to be really high scoring. And obviously, I think the Packers have a lot to prove. Aaron Rodgers is just going to do Aaron Rodgers stuff. I like over 49.5 in that game. Lastly, Arizona and Tennessee. Both teams are going to be over teams for me this year as well. In Ryan Tannehill's Tennessee tenure, say that five times fast, the over is 21-4-1. That's really, really good and a lot of points. Also, one nugget I liked, Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins love week ones, tied for the most receiving touchdowns in the opening week of all current rostered players, 7. So I like a lot of points in this as well. I own Kyler Murray in fantasy, so I'm excited for that as well. But I like the over 53.5 in that game.
Chris Brockman, sneaky good games, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hope that you're correct for the sake of everybody's bank accounts and IRAs.
And my own.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Keep the music going, feller. I've got three games under the radar for week one. We're talking all about last night. Why not? That was incredible. Bears coming to the Rams. SoFi, by the way, Matt Nagy. Just had a quote about Aaron Donald.
Yes.
Did you see that quote? It's an interesting quote here. The quote from Matt Nagy, he compared Aaron Donald to an NBA player, according to my buddy Siciliano on NFL Network. The Bears just want to prevent Donald from getting a triple-double. Says that they need to hold Donald to, quote, like 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 7 assists. That's Matt Nagy of the Bears.
I don't even know what that means.
Steve Weich with a perfect response. It would be the steals and blocks I'm more worried about. Well done, Steve. Ayo. These are all the marquee games. Marquee games. We had a Raven and a Raider on. We had Mark Andrews. We had Mike Mayock on. Again, I'm going to be on Westwood One Radio doing that Monday Night Football stuff on Monday, getting ready for pregame and halftime. Here are three games nobody's really talking about that I think are just as awesome. Jets at Panthers. Somebody's going to go 1-0 and get off to a terrific start. And the way the Bucs looked, it better be the Panthers. And certainly because they took Sam Darnold from the Jets, who said, see you later, Sam. We've got Zach. Zach versus Sam, week one. If the Jets can get out to 1-0 and then welcome Mac and the Patriots in their house week two and get off. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff that can come out of a W in Carolina for these two teams. And, of course, again, it's Sam Darnold now somewhere else and then Jets' new guy going against him in Sam's new place. Also, Seahawks. Shock the world. They're starting on the East Coast, 1 o'clock Eastern time zone again. Seahawks and Colts. Great inter-conference matchup.
Yeah.
Seahawks with the deep end of the NFC West pool. And, of course, now the Colts starting Carson Wentz. He's going to get the start. He is going to go after all that with his foot. That's something to look forward to because the winner of that 1-0 will be... also, looking at what happens in the third game under the radar, the game that you just mentioned that you say is going to go very high in the points department, Cardinals and Titans, baby. Derrick Henry coming down to J.J. Watt, who can't quit Derrick Henry, right? Can't quit the AFC South. A.J. Green is going to be in this lineup. What does that look like for Kyler Murray? And now Julio Jones for the Titans. Come on now. I can't wait to see all that. Those are three games under the radar for week number one. How about that? So excited.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to be, oh, and by the way, I should mention, I've got the Sunday Night Football right here, Hoskins. Sunday night, Khalil Mack and the Bears head to right up the road here, right down the road. It takes me literally 8 minutes to get from here to the NFL Network spot right next door to SoFi Stadium. Aaron Donald and the Rams taking on the Bears and Khalil Mack on Sunday Night Football. Opening weekend rolls on Sunday, 7 Eastern time on NBC and Peacock. And, of course, Peacock is going to have some great post-game coverage for you after the Sunday night game. I'm going to be there.
You're going to be there.
I am. If you're there on time.
Well, I'll be there early.
Okay. So then you'll see me because I'm emceeing a 10-minute ceremony to open up the stadium.
Fantastic.
And thank the fans and a lot of the frontline workers who made it possible.
Love it. Cannot wait.
And so I'm going to have, I went there yesterday to rehearse and read off the prompter and make sure my ears worked and there was no echo and all that stuff. And I went in there yesterday and I just looked up and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. And the fact that it's the next door neighbor to NFL Network, I still cannot believe it. Like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna run over to SoFi before doing the show. It's crazy.
And it's just finally gonna be able to have fans at the game, because remember, it was a year late getting finished construction, and then obviously last year, so now finally fans, and we're all gonna be there. Del Tufo and Adam.
Until you sell your tickets.
I mean, I'm going this on Sunday.
Okay, very good. Yeah. And are you going to go for when Brady shows up in a couple weeks?
Yeah, that's the next one, yeah. And then I probably won't go to any more games.
And Rich, the shot I saw, like, when you're at your desk, essentially SoFi is like the building behind you.
Correct, in
here.
the same way yeah. The building behind it's me right is there, the cafeteria. Right? It's right there. Through.
Wow.
We have the same sort of, you know.
Thoroughfare right
there. Yeah, the same see-through curtains and shades, that yes. Same thing.
Wow.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable. It does not compute. It will not compute when you go to a game and you see fans there and it's just like, this is Los Angeles. It's football. It's Sunday night.
We're back.
Have a great football weekend, everybody.
Yeah, man. Let's go.
And send us who you think the toughest player on planet Earth should be for Gorilla Glue tomorrow, and we'll chat on Monday.